Welcome to the Eye on Football podcast. Will Brinson here, Ryan Wilson as well. We're recording on Monday morning because Sunday night just ran too late. Week 6 is almost in the books. We will preview the Colts and Chargers matchup. Pretty good game on Monday Night Football. But first, we'll take a spin around the league, starting with, well, actually, if everybody could just boo Ryan Wilson, who has stubbed his toe. Just boo him right now, please.
What? What'd I do?
I'm just kidding. No, it's the Matt Schaub thing. Remember, the Texans fans, you see, cheered. I guess you should cheer your injury. You know, it was the single, I think it's the single worst thing in sports, maybe. I mean, maybe there are worse things. But, I mean, the idea that fans would cheer their own player suffering an injury is literally one of the two or three most repulsive things you'll ever see actually on the competitive, you know, in terms of interaction between people who pay to go to a game and people who are paid to be there.
Yeah, a couple things might be worse. Chris Paul punching you in the nuts and Albert Haynes for stomping on your head. But that's...
I almost think the fans thing is worse than that, because at least, like, the Paul thing, Paul's a dirty player. He punches somebody in the nuts. I mean, you're mad about it. Julius Hodge still bitter about it, by the way. Haynesworth is a psychopath and a dirty player. He's caught up in the heat of competition. He steps on somebody. These are fans, just rabid, evil human beings cheering Matt Schaub's injury.
Well, here, I think it's a couple things. First, the Texans are used to losing, so they don't know how to handle success. And I don't think the Texans players, I mean the fans, I think this has a lot to do with it. They weren't booing David Carr when he got hurt. They were just like, Jesus, don't let him take another sack. I think that has something to do with it. And I think this is actually worse than what happened last year when the Chiefs, Matt Castle went down and the team was apparently cheering for that. I think that is more, that Chiefs issue last year was more a function of people just hating Scott Pioli so much for running that organization to the ground.
Right.
They were taking out their frustrations on Matt Castle. I think it would have been fine to boo Scott Pioli had he, say, gotten taken out on the sidelines by accident and had to leave the field with a bum knee. But yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, here's how bad you know it is. After the game, the media were asking the Texans players about it. And then to a person, here's what Andre Johnson said. He said, it's classless, which everyone agrees with. But he said, you know it's bad when the guys on the other team are saying, man, that's an awful thing for people in the own team boos them.
That's right. Chris Long tweeted something ripping the fans. Arian Foster called it tactless and tasteless. Andre Johnson said, no class. You're right. It's bad when members of the other team are saying that's messed up. Jonathan Joseph said, don't show the beep up. He said, don't show the F up. Wade Smith said, I don't think I've ever been as disappointed. J.J. Watt called it disappointing. T.J. Yates called it disrespectful, and he's even the one who got to go in after Schaub got hurt. It's the sort of thing that, like, I mean, I would have to imagine really, I mean, it didn't, I don't want to say it changes everything, but it kind of does change everything, right? I mean, like, you're...
Oh, I was thinking when, you know, shortly after it happened on the players' comment, Matt Schaub will never be the same quarterback in the fans' eyes, and it's probably in his best interest if it wasn't already for him to start over somewhere else after the season is over.
Massive contract. I mean, everybody forgets about this when they.
Yeah, no, I think they would. I think the Texans would eat $25 million to cut him right now. But after the season, I mean, if you got to cut him, you got to cut him, right? I mean, you're not going to keep him around just because you paid him a lot of money, or maybe you do. I don't think he's a long-term answer. It doesn't sound like Kubiak does either. He almost thought about benching him this week, apparently. I do credit T.J. Yates, he graduated, for solidarity with the quarterback by coming in and immediately
throwing a pick six to Alec Ogletree, 98-yard interception return for a touchdown. I mean, it was comical, like, at that point, because...
Yeah, if it happened in a movie, you'd be like, this is totally unbelievable.
Yeah, you couldn't write that script. That's a great call. Schaub, we don't know, I don't think we know the extent of his injury. I'm going to guess that it's something that keeps him out for... I don't know. I mean, at least a couple weeks, right?
It looked awful when you see, like, the still image of it.
Yeah, our friend Steph Stradley was tweeting this out.
Yeah, maybe he's like, you know what, F it. I'm just going to take a break for a little bit. I mean, he won't say that publicly, but I'd be fine with him sitting down for a month, 6 weeks, and just getting his mind right, and then seeing what happens the final month of the season. Also, what would also be nice is to see how much fans love T.J. Yates when he goes 0-6.
That's right.
Throws 47 interceptions.
Yeah, but they're really high on Case Keenum.
Bring him on out there. I mean, people love to talk about the backup quarterbacks. guy was undrafted probably for a reason. Not everyone can be Kurt Warner. So bring him on out there. Let's see what happens.
And the other thing that Warren's pointing out here is that while Matt Schaub and the Texans offense was not very good on Sunday, the defense wasn't good either. And this team as a whole, I mean, just got throttled. They lost to the Rams by, what was it, 38 to, what was the final? 38-13, and that 13 might have been like a mercy 13, too. I mean, this is a bloodbath. Sam Bradford only had to attempt 16 passes, but he had 3 touchdowns. So he had, I mean, you know, he only had, they had a defensive score, they had a special team score. Zach Stacy ran the ball well, talking about the Rams. Arian Foster had 20 carries for 141 yards. Schaub was actually 15 of 21 for a .186. He was playing pretty well. They just made so many errors, and to do this at home is a very bad thing. The Texans are now 2-4. They are not dead because, you know, mathematics tell us that, but by all accounts they look dead.
Yeah, they're done. I mean, maybe they'll turn it around, but 4 straight losses, no faith in the quarterback who's now injured. I don't have any faith in T.J. Yates. I don't know who – I couldn't point Casey Keenum out in the lineup when he had on a shirt that says, "I'm Casey Keenum." So I don't know. You know, it's the amazing thing to me is that everyone – actually, I was making fun of some of our colleagues. I think Josh Katz, which is one of them, who picked the Colts to win the division before the season, said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But it just
spent the first 2 weeks mocking everybody who did that.
The Texans are stacked on paper. You know, Matt Schaub comes out, has like a mental hang-up that it turns – into like goes from a molehill to a mountain, literally. He can't even walk without tripping. And the next thing you know, they're 0-4. To their credit, no one's pointing fingers inside the locker room, so there's that. But this is going to continue. The conversation about firing Gary Kubiak, I mean, the conversation already about getting rid of Schaub is well underway. It's just no one saw this coming. I'm sure the people that are most shocked are on the Texans roster. So, yeah, hey, I mean, I don't see them fixing this. I don't know how you do fix it. They're awful. I mean,
yeah.
What do you do?
I have no idea, honestly. And it is like it came out of nowhere. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you point out the whole thing with how Schaub just kind of fell apart. I mean, he did. Like, all of a sudden, it was just bleh. Like, he threw that one pick to the
You know
what
he is like?
A golfer.
Steve Sachs. He has the – actually, you said that. I said he had the yips. But he also like Steve Sachs throwing the ball from second base to first. He can't do it. No matter what you do, no matter how much you practice, he's going to throw the ball 27 rows deep.
Yeah. I will say
do you remember Steve Sachs, by the way?
Yeah, the Dodgers. The Dodgers guy.
Yeah, he had like a chronic, like debilitating inability to throw the ball to first base. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen.
That's what happened. That's what happened to, Rick Ankiel. That's why he had to become an outfielder.
And also Charlie Sheen in Major League, whatever his name was.
That's right. Rick Vaughn, but that was glasses.
Right. What if Schaub comes out with some
more
glasses?
Oh, my God. All right, we're definitely photoshopping Matt Schaub with Wild Thing glasses on.
Yeah, Texas problem solved.
That's right. All right, so their next 4 games, it looks like, so they get at KC coming up next week, which is not an easy game at all.
What's going to happen? They're going to win that game.
They'll be favored. They'll be dogs by like 7.5 or 8 points. They'll win that game. They get Indy out of the bye. They get at Arizona, Oakland, Jacksonville before New England, and then at Jacksonville, at Indy. So, I mean, they've got some winnable games in there, but I mean,
we've been saying that for a month.
You look at their losses. This is what's so weird about it. Okay. So their 3 losses are at Baltimore, Super Bowl champions, against Seattle, one of the best teams in the league, at San Francisco, again, supposed to be one of the best teams in the league, a very good defense. The problem is that they got thumped by Baltimore. The loss to Seattle was heart-wrenching, and then the loss at San Francisco was just embarrassing on national television. So it was like those 3 weeks served to change the entire way we perceive the Texans, and then they showed up just like we perceive them on Sunday against the Rams.
Yeah. So, well, good luck against the Chiefs.
I know.
High hopes, but
well, as you and I have pointed out several times, they are lucky to not be 0-6 right now.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, so moving along, Patriots Saints, probably the biggest drama of the day on Sunday. Tom Brady left for dead. Understandably, I tweeted out he's been terrible this season.
Before we leave, any chance they
what? The Texans? No, I'll say no. I mean, on the Texans, no. I mean, like, look, they... I mean, yes, they can make the playoffs because they're in a not great division. They still have two games against the Colts. They can still right the ship. They have to run the ball. But it's problems. I mean, if the Colts look really good and the Texans look really bad. Anyway, on Brady. So yesterday was a pretty good day for Boston sports. Tom Brady had the last second comeback to Poppy, Big Poppy. I mean, these are two, like, the biggest figures in Boston sports history. Poppy hits a grand slam to help tie up the ALCS, and then Salty walks it off. Which one was bigger for the city of Boston?
A little known secret. I'm a Red Sox fan, although I haven't watched baseball.
Oh, that's right.
Probably 5 or 6 years. I lived in Boston right after college for 3 years.
Fun story. This is how cool the internet was back in 2003. Ryan had a blog called Sox Dogs and
Heel Sox Steelers, baby.
Heel Sox Steelers. Blogspot.org.
Blogspot. That's right.
I mean, who didn't think that would parlay you into a successful job?
You know who was on the internet that time? Two people, me and Brian Bassett from Jets Blog.
That's right. That's right. That's
we were
right.
The only two bloggers. And Aaron Gleeman. He actually started before.
And yet you still went with Heel Sox Steelers. Anyway.
Yeah. 2005, everyone won a championship.
That's right.
Well, 04, the Red Sox. But anyway, yeah. So I think, well, you know, that's actually a good question. I mean, it's a huge win for the Red Sox. They tied the series up 1-1. But in the scheme of things, they have two championships with '04. They've actually, I mean, people expect them to be a World Series team this year, but they pretty much dominated for most of the season. And I think
they were the best team in baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a huge, I mean, the way it happened is obviously huge, but I think in terms of what it means for the rest of the season, it's probably more important for the Patriots because, as you mentioned, Tom Brady has looked like dog crap.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally got on the same page with his receivers when it mattered most. Kendrick Thumpkins, huge catch. And that's a huge win over a really good Saints team too, who I think a lot of us thought was going to win that game. So I'll give the slight edge to the Patriots, but I mean, you could convince me otherwise.
Yeah. Excuse me. I would give the slight edge to the Red Sox because it's a playoff game and the Red Sox is regular season, but I mean, the Patriots regular season, but that being said, I mean, a monster win for the Patriots because Tom Brady, I mean, three times had a shot to take his team down the field, twice failed. Everybody was piling on Brady, and then he gets the ball back with a minute 13 remaining at his own 30, and it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, all right, whatever. And then all of a sudden, he's at the Saints 30, and there's 35 seconds left, and nobody had really realized it. Like, Twitter hadn't caught up yet. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's too busy tweeting about how bad Tom Brady is, and all of a sudden, he just drills this strike to Kimbrel Tompkins.
My game ball goes to Julian Edelman for dropping all his passes leading up to the Kendrell Thompson.
God almighty. No, the first one, it looked like it could have been Brady's fault, a little bit underthrown when he slid down by the one. But the second one, I mean, hit him in the hands. Brady, by the way, still under 60% completion for the season, still under 6.5 yards per attempt. You have to be concerned, but I mean, they're 5-1. They're doing fine. I know we saw our buddy Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, tweet out, perfect, ideal day for the Dolphins. And then all of a sudden it flipped, and now, you know.
Thanks, jerk.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Patriots are fine in that division. They need to get Gronk back. He's not. I don't think he's in that big a hurry, et cetera, et cetera.
By the way, Football Outsiders, before week 6, Brady ranked 73rd in their QB efficiency ratings,
mm-hmm.
ahead of E.J. Manuel, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick, behind RG3, Terrell Pryor.
Yeah,
and
where's he right now?
Oh, I'm sorry, not 73rd, 33rd.
Have they updated it for week 6?
No, they don't update it until later. But I was looking also at our buddies at Pro Football Focus, and Tom Brady is 24th ahead of Chad Henne, Eli Manning, Christian Ponder. So by any measure, these are two totally different means of
efficiency. All right, so let me ask you this then. I said on Twitter, I said Tom Brady's been pretty terrible this season. Aaron, our friend Aaron Schatz, who actually runs Football Outsiders, retweets me, and he's a Patriots fan, so he was a little upset, retweets me and adds, Tom Brady's been average. He hasn't been terrible. Now, Aaron has a lot of followers. I mean, who doesn't? But this looked fine up until the point when Tom Brady comes back. Now, I look like a jerk, but Tom Brady had, prior to that pass, it's like reverse Tony Romo narrative here. If you take that pass out of the equation, And even just don't even ignore the wins and losses. But I mean, just Tom Brady's personal statistics. He hasn't been. Has he been terrible? Has he been average? Has he been below average? Where classify? Am I wrong in saying terrible? Is what I'm asking.
The one description is below average. I mean, he hasn't been average. Even Aaron's stats say that. The Pro Football Focus stats.
He has not been average. He's been
below average.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tom Brady would tell you that. Tom Brady would say, "Yeah, I've been average."
Yeah. No. And so right, then I think my classification terrible actually works because. You're talking about Tom Brady. So for him, he's been terrible. All right, good.
Listen, when you're spots ahead of Eli Manning on any kind of QB rankings for 2013, mm-hmm. you're terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
No one's saying Chad Henne, who's in between Brady and Eli Manning, according to PFF, has had an average season.
That's right. Yeah, okay. All right, good. I'm just making sure I wasn't in the wrong here. I felt like our Aaron got a little worked up about it. Saints, are you worried about the Saints here?
I made fun of Rob Ryan for that Eli Manning face at the end of the game, but save that last drive, in which for some reason I don't know why they weren't covering anybody in that last drive. They've had a great season, so I'm not worried about that. I'm sure they can get it fixed.
Saints made a couple mistakes late in the game where they were being aggressive and they were throwing the ball and I mean whatever, it's fine.
They've already won that division.
Yes, that's right. And
Here we go.
Yeah, look, I'm just going to say it. The Panthers, I thought, were... okay.
Cue the clown music.
Here's the thing about the Panthers is you take their week one loss to the Seahawks.
Right. This is the same script you've been dusting off for 3 years. Go ahead.
All right. Well, they shouldn't have lost to the Seahawks. They fumble from D'Angelo Williams. And by the way, it was 3rd-and-7 with 2:29 left where they try to throw it to Marquise Colston. I guess the Saints were up one, and they could have run the ball. New England forced – actually, then Brady threw a pick. What am I saying? Yeah. Anyway, the Panthers –
awful pick, too.
Awful pick, yeah. You have to wonder – it feels like that had to be – oh, I know what it was. They ran a naked bootleg on 3rd-and-7. A couple questionable plays. They could have run the ball, forced New England to use the timeout. They got the pick anyway. They probably don't get that – I don't know. Anyway, the Panthers probably shouldn't have lost to the Seahawks. They were down in Seahawks territory with D'Angelo Williams when he fumbled the ball. Definitely shouldn't have lost to the Bills. That was embarrassing. They didn't go for it on 4th-and-1. And they played like crap against the Cardinals. Their two wins, now against the hapless Vikings, against the hapless Giants, were dominant performances. And I'm curious whether or not the way they played against the Vikings on Sunday – which was in total effort mode. I mean, Ron Rivera was going for it. Like, he's like 4th-and-12 from my own 6. Sure, why not? I mean, he was actually going for it on 4th down. The Panthers were creative. They ran a tight end. They ran a flea flicker tight end screen, which is a play I've never seen before. I can't believe Mike Shuley. Like, I can't believe his brain didn't. Like, there's no way he didn't steal that from copy that from somebody's paper.
Yeah, Madden.
Yeah, and generally looked creative and smart, and Cam Newton showed up, and I wonder if they can keep that going.
Here's a problem, and this is something that you're gonna have to live with if you insist on sticking with Ron Rivera. When things do matter, he's gonna go back to being conservative, Ron, and the team's gonna. I mean, when your last recourse is all right, ball's out, let's see what happens because I'm gonna get fired. Then great, that's wonderful.
Yes.
We had to afford that point.
Yeah, you had to get here in order to you had to dig yourself a hole in order to be aggressive.
That's right. The planes, you can see the ground that you're about to hit, and you're on the plane. You're like, well, let's see what happens. I'll try anything at this point. So yeah, that works until you win two more games, and then it's going to be back to the most boring football most predictable football you've ever seen.
That's right. But look, I'm just saying, Panthers aren't that far. They got a chance. The division's terrible.
Sean Payton versus Ron Rivera. Who you got? That's where you start the conversation.
Well, Sean Payton's probably maybe the second best coach in the NFL. So,
yeah, he's not losing any chess matches to Ron Rivera.
No, I don't think they're losing that. I don't think they're losing that division. I'm just looking at the standings as a whole. I mean, at the 49ers are in the pole position at 4-2, along with the. Bears and the Packers in terms of the wild card. Eagles at 3.
And don't forget the Lions.
Yeah, well, the Lions are leading that division. Lions, Saints, and Seahawks are leading their division. Yeah, I mean, 2-3, they're obviously not in a great spot. But would you rather be riding the Rams at 3-3 or the Panthers at 2-3?
Oh Jesus, what choice is that? Aha! It depends. Can the Rams play the Texans every week?
No, they cannot.
Yeah. I mean, that's an awful question to ask someone. It's like, how do you want to die? You get back to death, or machine gun death?
All right, I'll ask you instead. How do you feel about the Steelers being 1-4?
Oh, super pumped.
By the way, the Steelers have a better point differential than
Giants.
Never mind. Carry on. They're minus 28. I mean, they're not that bad. I mean, the Texans are minus 71.
Oh, jeez. The best part about the Steelers game is that 2 weeks ago they traded for Levi Brown, the awful left tackle from Arizona. They were going to have him play a little bit Sunday against the Jets, and he got hurt literally minutes before the game started, so he couldn't even dress. They were down to 6 linemen. The starting left tackle was a 7th-round pick last year who had been tagged to play guard, played left tackle in college, Kelvin Beachum. And they were fine. I mean, you know, the defense showed up and they created turnovers, and that's why they won. LeBeau's now 16-2 against rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole bunch to take away from this. This is probably the Steelers team we thought they would be, which is like a sub-500 team, but not great. And the Jets certainly weren't a 3-2 team. I think that – what were they? Or two? What were they coming into this game? They were 3-2.
They were 3-2. They're 3-2 now, right?
Yeah. And, you know, everyone was saying if they won that game – they're 3-3 now. If they'd won that game, they'd be ahead of the division because everyone figured the Saints were going to beat the Patriots.
Right.
So now we can all calm down because when the Patriots and the Jets meet this week, I'm pretty sure the Patriots are going to whoop up on them.
Yeah. That's weird. Are the Patriots and Jets playing this week?
I think so. I may be making stuff up, but I think that was next on the schedule.
That's two early games for those two teams.
I'll double check, but I think I...
That's weird that they would play that quickly. But you know what I mean? Like, usually they schedule those division games for later.
No.
Yeah, the Jets are 3-3 now. They put up 6 points in the first half and 0 in the second half. That's not a good look. And you're right, yeah, they play next week, 1 o'clock CBS, on CBS Sports. What would you say about Geno Smith's performance against LeBeau? And
He threw two red zone picks. That's all you need to know.
That's not good. And how would you classify the offensive line's performance against a very good defensive line? Like with Moe Wilkerson and Sheldon, the Sons of Anarchy.
Those guys are, and they're young, and they're fast, and they're strong. And this, the offensive line was fine in terms of pass protection. Ben was sacked 4 times, but that actually isn't an awful number of times for him to go down. Typically speaking, the running game still sucks, but that's not a surprise. I think Le'Veon Bell had 16 carries for 30-something yards. I mean, 32 yards, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that
the Jets' defense is good.
Yeah, and Cromartie was hurt, and he looked like it. He was limping around out there. He got burned for the touchdown and the long touchdown pass. And they don't have any wide receivers. Santonio Holmes is out. Stephen Hill got the crap knocked out of him. He still stayed in there, but he's not a legit number one. I don't think he's a number two, actually. So they don't have a lot to in terms of downfield threats. I mean, people are pumping up Jeff Cumberland. Let's be real about this. Jeff Cumberland is a number two or number three tight end, maybe, on a decent team. Geno Smith isn't going to be a bad quarterback. He's better than Mark Sanchez. He's just making rookie mistakes on a team that's an average team. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Geno is that, I mean, it's almost like he's not getting credit for really pumping them up. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
He's the guy who's kind of putting them over the top, I think.
Yeah. This was Sanchez. It would be interesting if Sanchez were playing because they would either be like 6-0 or 0-6. There's no in between with them. But I think Smith has had a lot to do with their success. I mean, don't forget what he did against the Falcons just last week. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of his success gets lost in the fact that he has a lot of turnovers, but he's also a rookie. So, you know, it's all relative.
No, that's true. All right. What else? Redskins and Cowboys. I thought RG3, or RG-me, as we like to call him in front of our boss, who's a Redskins fan, looked a lot better, a lot more explosive, a little bit faster. He was running the ball more. Maybe the Redskins starting in week six or week 7 or 8, I mean, could start to maybe run the offense they ran in 2012 a little bit more. Might see that some. Tony Romo looked okay. Didn't have a great performance, but he had a great touchdown pass to Terrence Williams. Cowboys, the difference was Dwayne Harris was just good in special teams, so the Cowboys didn't have to be that good.
Here's the thing. I'm probably going to write about this sneak preview for Coach Gillard. I think I'm going to leave it at RG3. And he did play better. But he played better against a decimated defense. Bad defense.
The defense played well, but I mean, yeah, with DeMarcus Ware out and Spencer's gone.
How many times on Sunday night did you hear the phrase, they got these guys off the street?
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Is, which,
yeah.
Which is a stretch, but the point is that you should be able to do something against those guys. So I don't know if RG3 is completely back yet. He did look a lot better. He looked more mobile. In terms of decision making, I still think he didn't make the best decision. That turnover in the end zone, I don't know what that was about. I'm sure there was some miscommunication. But great catch by Orlando Scandrick either way. Also, you know, you're right. The Cowboys didn't look good, and they didn't look good against a super crappy defense. But again, they're playing in the East, and average will win you that division. I mean, 8 wins is going to win the division, and I think the Cowboys can probably win 9.
Yeah, the team that the Cowboys are fighting with, the Eagles. We're just going to keep moving along here. The Eagles are also 3-3, I think. The two teams are tied for first. They're going to play this week for the rights to the division. What's interesting here is that Michael Vick didn't play on Sunday. Nick Foles stepped in against the Buccaneers, who have actually had a pretty good defense this year, and he lit them the F up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was slinging the ball down the field. Now, it warrants mentioning that the Buccaneers are idiots because they traded for Darrelle Revis, paid him a ton of money, and then threw him in zone coverage, which is dumb.
Pete Prisco, our buddy, was going off on that. Deion Sanders was going off on that. He showed a couple of examples on one of the touchdowns in the end zone where Reeves is just standing in the corner of the end zone by himself because that was his responsibility while the receiver just runs across the back of the end zone wide open.
Right.
It's just the latest thing to add on the list of ridiculous things that's going on in Tampa Bay.
There's no way Greg Schiano survives.
Well, that's my next question. If it turns out that he is the leak for this news about Josh Freeman's being a part of the NFL drug policy, drug program, when does he get fired? Let's say we find out in a week's time that he was involved. I'm just speculating. How long until it gets canned?
A week. That's an ideal situation if you're the Bucs, is you have, it's not like, it's not even like this guy sucks so bad at his job that we're going to can him, even though you could, make that argument. You have now an argument that Greg Schiano, in this hypothetical that he did leak it, that he has exposed you to, he's made you liable for a lawsuit from, from the NFLPA or a claim from the NFLPA and a lawsuit from Josh Freeman. I think you almost have to do it from a legal standpoint, can him immediately. It's a fireable offense by any stretch of the imagination, right?
Yeah, there may be some legal implications, but if I'm General Manager Mark Domenic, I'm doctoring up some documents that say that.
Oh my God, I would have done that 2 weeks ago.
Get him out of there, start over.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to Domenic because, this is his second coach, and he's tried one extreme with Raheem Morris, and he had some success and then had some major failure. And he tried the other extreme with Schiano, and he had some success last year. And then, dating back to, I think they lost, 5 of their last 7 games or something like that, and they've lost their first 5 this year. So,
yep, that's right, yep.
So, you basically lost, 10 of your last 12 games. It's not working.
Somebody should get Domenic a copy of Completely Locked in the Three Bears.
That's right. And look, we talked about the Panthers. We didn't talk about the Vikings. But you mentioned, Matt Castle throwing picks. That's what we saw. Cam Newton throwing touchdowns, Matt Castle throwing picks. Matt Castle had a shot to kind of give himself one more week of, buy himself some time, I think. He didn't buy himself any time. He's done. He looked like crap after they actually won a game. I think they're going to press Josh Freeman into service right away. I wouldn't be surprised.
Hey, listen, you paid him $3 million. What do you got to lose? You want to see what he can do? Jay Glazer, Fox Sports, said that he will start eventually, which isn't breaking news. But
No. But I think he'll start in week 7.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. Put him out there. And then standing around.
But then what happens if he starts in week 7?
You leave him.
What? No. That's not where I'm going with that. I'm going with what happens if he starts in week 7 and lights things up against, I think it's the Packers? No, the Giants on Monday Night Football. Exactly. It's absolutely perfect. So he lights things up against the Giants on Monday Night Football while Greg Schiano is down there, with Mike Glennon, getting his struggle on for the 7th straight week. I'm not even sure who Tampa Bay plays in week 6, but they're 0-5. And they get...
They're 0-6. Oh, did they have their bye? They had their bye, right.
Yeah. They had their bye. They're going at Atlanta against a bad Falcons team, who's coming off a bye.
Yeah.
So they lose that game at 1 o'clock, and then Josh Freeman goes out and has a monster performance on Monday night. I can tell you where this is going. That might get him fired.
Well, here's another question. He won't coach at the NFL for a while, I would imagine.
No.
I don't know. I mean, he would be – God, I'm going to someplace like UConn or something. But
that's about right. Do you know what his – I mean, and look, I give him credit for turning around Rutgers. Do you know what his career record at Rutgers was?
I saw you tweet that. It's not good. Is it? It's like two games above 500 or something?
One game above 500.
That's over. He was there – let's see. What was it, 120 games or something? So he was there like
130
or something.
Yeah, 135. He's there. I mean, look, Rutgers is a really bad school. When he got there, I mean, like they're like a 2-4 win team, and he got them 11 wins and produced some notable talent like Kenny Britt and Ray Rice, notable Afros like Tyquan Underwood, notable fades. But I mean, the reality is that it's not. I mean, it's clearly not working.
It's he's great with. Well, he's better with young kids, not so good with.
Well, I mean, this is like the classic case of it works at the college level because you can tell kids what to do versus it won't work at the pro level because these guys are professionals.
Yeah, they have families and, you know, wives and children and that, you know, you can't just be treating them like they're 18 years old.
Right, exactly. And I mean, like, you know, if somebody stormed into our office and started, or, you know, our virtual office and started demanding, you know, this and this, do it this way or else, you know. I mean, we'd be like, dude, no.
I mean, yeah, here's Owen's five for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What else we got? Are you at all surprised that the Jacksonville Jaguars covered?
No, not really. I mean, from the start, it looked like, I mean, look, 4 minutes left in the third quarter, they're down 2 points. And then they, you know, eventually get down, lost 35-19. 28 points is a lot of points.
We're an awful team. This is the best game they played.
Absolutely. And but the reason they played their best game, I think, is because they were favored. They were underdogs by so much. If this is week one and the spread was, what was the spread if this is week one?
Gosh.
15.5?
Yeah. That's huge if it's 15.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, yeah, 15 is monster for an opening week spread. I think they still cover.
Who? The Broncos?
Right. I guess the Broncos would have covered. I mean,
yeah. No, I agree.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, like, there's not all this hype about it. Or if it's week three, I mean, remember the Broncos were 7.5-point favorites over the Ravens on opening night.
Yeah, and the other thing is that this spread has been out for 2 weeks now. So the Jaguars have had plenty of time to kind of get themselves mentally prepared.
Jimmy Johnson was giving them pregame speeches, man.
Oh, that's what that was? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he did a pregame Jaguar. It was actually, you know, it was okay.
For Fox, by Fox standards, it wasn't right.
Yeah, I mean, for awkward pregame, you know, Jimmy Johnson screaming at the camera. It was all right. I like Jimmy Johnson, though. What else we got? Are you worried about Peyton Manning?
No. I mean, okay, here you go. Are the Chiefs now a legit threat for the Broncos?
What's fascinating, and I was pointing this out in Sorting the Sunday Pile, is that these two teams are, like, almost totally different. The Broncos can't find a running back who works with their thing. They just finally had to cave and go with No'Shawn Moreno. They lean almost entirely on their quarterback. They can play some defense, but it's because of Peyton Manning that this team is 6-0. And without him, they are just not nearly. I mean, they have plenty of talent. But they're not nearly as good. Tons of skill position talent at the wide receiver position. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have a terrible quarterback. And Alex Smith, who's a game manager, 14 of 31 for 128 yards. I mean, he didn't need to do much, but their defense has just been outstanding through the season. But I think, as you might point out, they haven't exactly had a tough schedule.
Yeah, that's right. They haven't played anyone. But listen, that's not their fault.
That's what happens when you win two games.
And this is what happened in 2010. They had the soft schedule, won the division, and then they promptly got kicked out of the playoffs. But again, what do you want them to do? Not play the teams that are on the schedule? I think it'll just be – I think this game this week will actually – be interesting because they're playing the Texans, and I hate to be like a predictable and say it's a trap game, but in a sense it is because the Texans are at rock bottom. I think. I mean, we keep saying they're rock bottom, they somehow managed to go lower.
Yeah.
People in Kansas City can't believe this team's 6-0, and I think that's. I mean, I thought they would be much better than last year, but no one thought they were going to be 6-0. And I still don't. I don't know enough about them, and I say this about the Bears. I know about the Bears, but I said this about the Bears and their fast start. I just don't know if they can sustain it, because for the Bears, we've seen it before with Jay Cutler, with the Chiefs. This team hasn't won in a while, and I'm not sure they know how to win. The last time they did it was with Todd Haley and Matt Castle.
Yeah, but I think here's the difference is that they're doing this by via defense. Like it's via via like it's not smoke and mirrors that this team is succeeding. They are their defense is really, really good. So as long as the defense stays healthy, I mean, look, Justin Houston, Tom Bahali can get after the quarterback. Don Terry Poe's a beast in the middle. He got banged up. Brandon Flowers is a stud. Sean Smith's having a good year.
Sean Smith.
Yeah. So, I mean, the defense isn't going anywhere. And as long as Jamaal Charles can run and they can play defense, I mean, they can beat the Texans. They can beat the Browns. They can beat the Bills. That's 9-0 when they play the Broncos in week 11, and they get their bye before they play the Broncos in Denver. I don't think they're going to beat Denver in Denver.
God, maybe they will.
But 9-0, and no, you're 9-0. You get to 9-0, you're in the play. You're making the postseason.
I think the last time the Chiefs went 9-0 was 2003. That was a really good team.
Yeah,
team. They ended up they won the first round.
Like
no,
Priest,
they lost in the
Priest Holmes.
Yeah, they wanted to. Yeah, Priest was on that team.
Trent Green.
Tony Gonzalez, and I think they may have lost after their first round bye. I have to look it up. But anyway, yeah, all right. You sold me. We'll see.
Well, I mean, let's say even if they lose this week to the Texans, I still think they're beating Cleveland at home, Buffalo on the road.
Yeah.
So that gives them 8-1 at Denver. Fine, lose to Denver. I'll give them 2 losses to Denver. That's 8-3 because they play Denver twice in 3 weeks. They play San Diego in between those Denver games. That could be a tough matchup, but it's at home, so that's nice. 9-3, then at Washington, at Oakland. Even if you split that, that's 10-4. Indy at home. Even if you lose that, that's 10-5. And then you play at San Diego to close out the season. It might not matter because they might have already clinched something. I mean, I just think worst case is we're looking at, 10-6.
Yeah, my argument is going to have to be that they're not going to win the division because they're clearly playoff team, which I predicted in the preseason, but gosh.
Yeah.
All right, well, good for them.
They're
setting up nice.
They're plus 19. Oh, no, that's the 2003 Chiefs. I was just looking up. You're right. The 2003 Chiefs got to 9-0 through their bye, lost to the Bengals, 13-3.
Oh, God, the Bengals team was awful. I remember that game. That was an awful Bengals team.
Lost to the Colts, 31-38 in the playoffs.
Interesting. Peyton Manning led Colts.
That was like Dante Hall's heyday too.
The human joystick?
Yeah, that's right. Tony Gonzalez, All Pro. Priest Holmes, All Pro. Dante Hall, All Pro. Eddie Kinnison and Dante Hall were their top wide receivers.
Yowzers!
That's crazy.
Priest Holmes had a lot to do with that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the year that Holmes ran. He had 27 touchdowns, 1,400 rushing yards.
Holy Moses.
690 receiving yards. And yeah, I mean, he was a beast. All right, anyway, enough about 2003. Man, remember how cool we were back then?
11 years ago. All right, let's do this Monday night thing. Get out of here.
All right, Chargers at Colts. Colts at Chargers, sorry. The Colts are favored. Look, road teams did really well this week in the NFL. By my count, 7-6 straight up, I think. And probably even better against the spread. That's why my NFL picks went down the poopy toilet. I don't know what that means. Phillip Rivers, 140 for 190 so far on the season, 1,600 passing yards. He's been phenomenal, but Andrew Luck has been another borderline MVP candidate. How do you see this game playing out?
What's the spread? 1.5.
Chargers or dogs? I love the Chargers. I think I'm the only one who likes the Chargers.
You are.
Not because I doubt the Colts, but just, a home dog on Monday Night Football is not something you get.
Rivers. Here's the thing. The Chargers can win by 2 points or lose by 40. Now, Phillip Rivers had he crapped the bed for the first time all season, right?
Last week, did he?
Who did they play last week? I thought he played poorly. I can't even remember who they played. But he's been so good.
He
83% of his passes.
Oh, it was that Sunday night, against the Raiders. God, it was a disaster. He had a terrible game. It was that midnight game against the Raiders.
But 2 or 3 weeks ago is when he completed 83% of his passes.
Shredded the Cowboys.
Everyone was all over his jock, and rightly so. He came out of nowhere. We're talking about Mike McCoy and Ken Wisenhunt.
Yeah.
Turning them around. And now, much slower, we saw the old Philbert. Last week. So, and this Colts defense is playing well. The only saving grace is that it's in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen Philbert crap his pants at home before, too, especially in like a big national game. So I'm going with Colts. I'm not even trying to ride that Phil train.
Yeah. All right, I'm going with the. I'm going with the Chargers. I think the Chargers defense is no good, but I think this game gets into a shootout. Remember, the Texans looked good in the first two games of the year, but didn't look good in the first half against the Chargers. I think the Chargers will maybe. And people are talking about this is a trap game. I think the Chargers will do a good job of. Preparation. That's one thing they've done all season. They've been very prepared for these games. I think they come in, have a good game plan, a nice scripted offensive set, win the first two series, get a lead, and force Andrew Luck to kind of press a little bit. I'm not so sure Trent Richardson's any good, so I'm not worried about him running. And I foresee the Chargers. Winning in what should be a fun shootout on Monday night.
All right. I'll watch.
Okay, so that's it for us. We will be back. Maybe we'll be back midweek. Had some family stuff last week, so apologize for lack of a preview again. But subscribe via iTunes anyway. That way you'll know when we do our podcast. For Ryan Wilson, I am Will Benson. We will talk to you soon.